Hello.
Welcome to Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're here to render judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, television, and fashion.
Strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're Tom and Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kittens. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the tea in your tea, little Tom Fitzgerald. I'm here with the Lou in your tea, little Lorenzo Marquez Valdez.
Hello.
And we're back after a hiatus. We did a short intro to a classic episode last week, but we didn't record a new podcast because of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Which is my favorite holiday.
It is Lorenzo's favorite holiday, yeah. And we pegged the hell out.
Oh, my God. Yes. Always.
And to such an extent that it might freaking carpal tunnel and trigger fingers. I'm telling you, writing this book blew my hands up. They like exploded.
And you like to bake a lot, so which is always
and in the course of because there were two Thanksgivings in the course of 3 days. Let's see, I did a coconut custard pie from scratch, including the crust. Pumpkin pie from scratch, same. Butternut squash lasagna,
amazing.
Including the noodles from scratch.
Of course.
What else? Pumpkin cinnamon buns from scratch.
Pumpkin pie.
Just, I figure that from scratch is implied for all of these, okay?
Yes.
Cornbread stuffing, baked the cornbread from scratch. I roasted a whole turkey and rendered enough gravy for 33 people.
Wow.
It was a 22-pound bird, and then other birds were being done, and hams were being done at other people's houses. But I was main bird guy for the family Thanksgiving. What else? Cornbread stuffing. Oh, a carrot cake, my mom's carrot cake from scratch. An amazing cheesecake, I gotta say.
The best cheesecake you've ever made.
It really was.
You have to describe the cheesecake.
It was a mascarpone cheesecake it was an orange mascarpone cheesecake. You put an orange zest in it with a chocolate walnut crust and a cranberry, like a cranberry chutney on the top. It was freaking amazing.
It was your best cheesecake.
And it was a big family cousin Thanksgiving that this was all for.
It's like always a big
30 of us or 30 plus of us got together. And it was my niece Rosie's second birthday. So my sister said, could you do a cake for her? Because I'm always happy to do birthday cakes for anyone in the family. So I also did a birthday cake. So my point being, I did all that in like 3 days.
My point being, I'm fabulous.
No, my point being, it killed my hands. Like, yes. I'm still feeling it because of all the carpal tunnel BS and all that. Anyway, wah. It was a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. It was a great. I love Thanksgiving because there's no pressure, you know, no gift giving, exchanging. Nothing.
No pressure because he doesn't. Did you just hear the list of things I had to make?
No pressure.
No pressure for the person who shows up to eat.
No pressure because all I have to think about is what I'm going to wear and then what I'm going to eat.
And when he puts a lot of thought into what he's going to wear. A lot. And I'm always like, what goes well with making gravy?
That's it, too.
That's it, too.
That's it in a nutshell.
What shoes do I wear since I'm making gravy today?
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
it was great. It was, as always, a huge family. Anyway,
it was. And now we're in the throes of Christmasing, and it has been
a nightmare.
A freaking nightmare in this place. I don't even know what is going on. Every light for every lighted thing that we own, and we own a lot, has decided that this is the year. No, we're all going to just, we're just going to fuck with you,
all right,
Tom
and
Lorenzo.
But we should start by saying that it's your favorite holiday, Christmas.
Blah, blah, blah. We say that all the time.
Yeah, but my point is that we have a ton of Christmas decorations.
No, my point is that pre-lit artificial Christmas trees are bullshit.
Yeah, they are bullshit.
Because
nevermore.
We have two. We have a main one in our living room, and you know, judge us all you want for having an artificial tree. But when you live in the city, sometimes real we did real trees for like 15 years, and it's a pain in the ass to go get one, and it is an even bigger pain in the ass to dispose of one. I mean, we live in a building with other people. There's stairway and hallway outside our place. And when you try to get rid of a real tree in January in that situation, you're freaking vacuuming the hallway
even
of your apartment. You know what I mean?
If you get those giant, you know, plastic bags, I mean, you still, it's a mess.
It's a total.
Yeah. And the thing is that we do have we have two trees, actually.
And the main one in our living room, 7 feet tall. It's a nice one. It's very real looking. But it's pre-lit. And last year, the pre-lit, what we always did was it's pre-lit with white lights, the little mini white lights.
But we add more lights.
We add another 200 C7, the big screw-in light bulb lights, because I love those. We put them on the tree every year. Well, the white lights that are the pre-lit part of the tree, they died last year.
Because the tree's kind of old. Yeah.
It's not that old. It's 7 years old.
Well, it's old.
It's not that old.
All right.
All right. So this year I was like, the hell with it. I'm not even going to worry about the white lights. We're just going to put those C7s on and have some fun with it. Well, there are fuses on each one of the light strands.
Nightmare. Yeah.
Right now, only half our tree is lit because I really don't feel like tracking down the plugs and opening them up and putting new fuses in them.
Again, not yet. We're going to have to do it.
Fingers are killing me. Then we have a small silver tree that is in our dining room on our what normally serves as our bar. And it's all white lights and silver and gold ornaments. It's very fabulous.
It's a very pretty tree.
White
yeah.
faux fur Christmas tree skirt. It's fabulous. It's like if Liberace had a Christmas tree. We always say it's our gay
one.
Christmas tree. The tree topper on it is a silver and pink peacock. Like it doesn't get much
gayer than
that. It's
gorgeous. I think I've taken pictures. I'll take a picture when it's all done.
But
again.
That one conked out on us right. this year. All the pre-lit white twinkly. And you know what? It's a silver metallic tree. The whole point of it is to light it. If you don't light it, it just looks like a weird thing.
Right,
like
right,
a bottle
right.
brush. like something you scrub a pan with. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh my God, it's true.
So anyway. Then it was this big to-do to try and find white lights with a white cord, because you can't put a green cord on a silver tree. And then we'll get the little LED, like the fairy lights, those things that come on that are battery operated and they're like tiny and they're on a little wire.
Right.
Just a huge to-do. And now it's sort of lit with like four different strands of LED lights and 12 batteries.
500
it's
batteries.
It's like a nightmare.
Yeah. So yeah, we're taking care of it. But
I realize that these are not real problems. They're not problems at all.
No, but
my
the
God,
thing
the
is
last
that
24
it's,
hours.
It's frustrating because we have gorgeous ornaments. We do. And the trees are beautiful, but the lights are not working. And so it's kind of like disappointing, but we're working on it.
We'll
it's
get
still
through
early.
This trying
we'll get
time in our marriage. I promise you we will,
but
we will smile again someday.
And we always say we're never going to get, we always say every year, let's not get new ornaments. Let's not get new anything. And of course we went out.
Yes, or a couple of days ago we went out and we were
this German village store.
Well, you know why? Because we got the payment for our audiobook.
Oh, yes.
From Penguin.
So
and we were like,
let's
blow
bit.
A little cash.
Yeah.
Let's talk briefly about that because honestly, that was such a grand adventure for the two of us. This was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We recorded our podcast in the morning. We mentioned it at the time, and then we ducked out to a recording studio for 2 days to do our audiobook. And I can't talk about it without sounding like I'm bragging, so I'm going to let you say what happened when I started reading.
Well, to me, it was like a nightmare for a long time, because as soon as we scheduled the recording thing, I just freaked out and I couldn't. All I did was like look at the calendar and just see the day coming. And I'm like, holy shit, we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do this. I hate everything about it.
Let me just say,
anyway.
Can I just say in your defense, you're very good on mic. We've been doing mic work for 200 episodes of this show. It's the reading part that you don't.
I just don't like reading and recording at the same time. It's just weird. The whole thing was weird. I didn't want to do it at all. But anyway, we went there.
I rehearsed every night for
you
a month.
Rehearsed. I rehearsed a couple of times. I mean, rehearsed a couple of times.
I rehearsed for hours every
night. You rehearsed
night.
Like crazy. Yes. You did a lot more work than I did. But anyway, we got to the studio. It's this fabulous, great studio here in Philadelphia. So there was the tech guy and then the director,
mm-hmm.
two professional helping us. And they've director or whatever you call him.
Director.
Director, yes.
Zane Birdwell.
Yes, all right. He listened to our podcast.
Right.
So he knew we could speak.
And he said that. He was like, you know, I've listened to your podcast. You two play off each other well. So
right.
maybe we'll just take it light and see if you two want to play off each other. And I have to admit, I was willing to try anything. But I didn't know. In the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know how to read a prepared text and play off each other at the same time,
right.
unless we just keep interrupting each other. But okay, I'll trust this director. like I said, every night I opened that book and read for 90 minutes out loud minimum, sometimes 2 hours straight out loud. I can actually, there are certain chapters I'm pretty sure I can quote from memory.
Right.
I was overprepared, if anything else, and I really worked on it. I don't think I've worked on anything that hard except this book, except the writing of this book. I worked on things like my breathing. I worked on things like emphasis, which word you want to emphasize and when your voice is supposed to go up and when your voice is supposed to go down. I did say at one point when we were talking about it on this podcast, I said to you guys, I'm not going to sound like this on the audiobook, which is how I sound now when I'm speaking, you know, extemporaneously. And I didn't. I really went for it. I went for the announcer voice. Not that it's phony or anything like that, but it's so much more polished than the way I'm talking right now.
Well, the thing
is that
I went to music. I studied music. I went to music school. And you actually have a class where you learn how to pronounce the words when you sing to make sure that the words are clear and people can understand what you're singing. So I knew you needed a special skill. It's not just reading.
It's not.
Like you're reading a book. You have to make sure you pronounce every word, the syllables, everything, the
you
vowels.
You never trip over a word. Yeah, you never lose your breath. Right. You never mispronounce anything. And the whole time you're thinking, you're trying to ensure that your voice is not boring someone or annoying someone. You will be in someone's ears it's one thing to do a podcast like this. It's fun, it's off the cuff, whatever, and it's no more than an hour per week. And it's free. But to ask someone to buy your audiobook and then to listen to you for 8 or 9 hours read it, there's this real sense of I have to be pleasant and engaging. I have to make this work come alive. I can't, like, the book is loaded with quotes from real people, not just RuPaul or Michelle Visage, but like Crystal LaBeija and all these famous drag queens over the years. And we had to do the quotes. Like, and you can't just read a quote off like you're doing a grocery list. You have to at least emote a little bit in it without sounding like you're mimicking someone, especially if you're doing, like, you know, an African American or Latinx queen. You can't, you know, suddenly start talking a certain way and imitating them, because it's really not a good idea as a white reader. So all of this was a consideration. All I'll say is this. I started reading. I read 90% of the book. You read the titles, the subtitles, and a lot of the quotes. Mm-hmm. And there were certain lines that were picked out for emphasis
right.
where we said, Lorenzo, you can read that one. This was all done.
It just felt that it would be better that way.
Yeah.
Like reading a paragraph together, or you start the paragraph and then I finish it, it would make no sense. It would just sound weird.
It would.
So that's how, why, well, we divided the work like that. And of course, that's how I wanted, because, you know, I was panicking the whole time. So
all I'll say is, as soon as I started reading, the director and the
fairies showed up and the sky opened.
No, but they both were like, oh, okay, this guy's been practicing.
Yeah.
And they went with a straight read because they knew I could handle it. They told me that later, that they just told me to go for it. Not only that, but we were scheduled to be in the studio for 3 days. The sound technician told us that a lot of times with first-time authors, it can take as long as 5 days. Who wrapped it up in under two? Thank you very much.
2 days.
288 pages in two days out loud.
Yes. And good work. And we repeated several times. Like, we went back and reread it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like one read nonstop. The thing is that it's nonstop. It was from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
We took a break to
eat. No, it was 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, 10 o'clock. I'm sorry. From 10 to 5, nonstop. We took a break to eat lunch, and that was it.
Yeah.
And you're in the studio, sitting, you know, facing the microphone, and that's it. And reading the book. It's a lot of work. Every now and then I looked up and see your face, and I'm like, I can't believe he's still going on.
Because he kept saying to me on the breaks, he's like, how are you doing this?
Because it's non-stop. And you have to keep the same level of emotion or excitement.
Yep.
It can't keep go up and down.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And the director is there, and he was awesome. He was very professional, very, very talented.
Great guidance.
Great guy.
Me on track, made sure I didn't rush through things.
And it was cute, because every now and then I was like, oh, okay, is this how you read this word? Well, let's Google it. Let's make sure. Let's make sure you're reading it correctly. So it was a lot of, it was stressful, long, but very exciting, I thought.
You kept saying when we were on break, you were like, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? And I kept kind of switching off whenever you asked that, because honestly, it's such a cliche to say this, but I was totally in the zone once I started. Once I started and I was getting the reaction from the director, I was like, okay, I'm actually nailing this. Thank God all that rehearsal paid off. And then it was just keep going. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. Stay in the zone. Make this as good as you can make it. And it never felt stressful to me while I was in it. It felt intense while I was in it. Your brain is really, all your synapses are firing because you're not taking long pauses. You're not trying to collect yourself. You're trying to do as much in one take as possible. You're not, so, I mean, it has to flow. It has to be smooth. You have to, like, be reading out loud and also looking ahead to see what the next sentence is going to be right. as you're doing it. You're scanning for the quotes on the page as you're reading out loud. And you're not pausing and you're not stumbling over anything. I mean, of course I did. I'm human. But the goal is to read for long stretches of time. That's why we were able to get it done in 2 days, is because I was able to read for long stretches of time without screwing up. I know this sounds like I'm bragging. I am going to own that because I am so proud of what we did, what I did. It was, I haven't worked so hard on, like I said, since I wrote the book. And it was doing something I had never done before,
right.
had never envisioned doing before, wasn't sure I really wanted to do, but I made the commitment. I was like, you know yeah. what? I'm getting paid and people are going to pay to listen to me. And you just have to bite the bullet. You right. can't be cold. You can't be stiff. You can't be boring. You have to make it all come to life.
Right. The thing is that if you don't really know how it works, usually the publishing company hires a professional, someone, or an actor, someone who does
authors
all the
reading. Don't always do it.
Authors
and rarely
do it.
Yeah. We're not first time, but even so.
It's not common to have the actual authors doing the reading. I mean, it does happen, but not often. In fact, when we mentioned on Twitter, even though Tom mentioned, oh, this was so hard when we were done, someone actually who is...
A whole bunch of pros.
A lot of pros, yeah, professional people who actually do this for a living was saying, oh my God, I'm so glad you mentioned that because people don't understand how hard it is. And it is. It is... You know, you focus the whole time.
Right.
You're extremely focused the whole time. And it's just nonstop. You keep going and going and going.
I
and
crashed
you can't stop. Yes.
That Sunday. We read Friday and Saturday. Right. Then I was, you know, Sunday I had to myself, and I totally crashed. I was not able to function at all. And, I mean, we were scheduled to go back into the studio the following Tuesday for the third day. And all I could think was, man, I'm glad we're done because I think I'd be dreading that third day because I'm so tired.
Especially having
right now.
To wait one day in between. When he saw us, the director, when he saw us and talked to us for a little bit, the first thing he said was like, oh, okay, I'm getting a very good vibe here.
Right.
think this is going to go really, really well, which was good to hear.
Yeah.
When we first
encouraging.
Met. Yes. And then, you know, it went well for 2 days. And the technician said, you know, this usually takes like 5 days. You guys did a great job. So, yeah. So it was awesome. And it's also an achievement, I think, in
That's
my opinion.
That's what it felt like to me.
Because
like you achieved something.
You wrote a book. Tom worked so hard on this book. And then you're reading it.
Right. Trying to make it come to life for someone.
So, yeah. So it's full circle.
Yeah.
You know, you write it, you read it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great experience.
It was a great experience. Anyway. You know what else is a great experience?
Yes.
Our Bombas socks. Hello, segue. We actually do love our Bombas socks.
Oh, my God,
my
we
goodness,
do.
We wear
we
them
do,
to the
we
gym
do, we do.
Every day. And we are only buying each other socks this year for Christmas because we have decided that our funds, our athletic socks are all taken care of because they're all Bombas. But all our like fun socks or dress socks are not. We need updates on all of that. So we're buying each other a bunch of socks this Christmas. And I know I will be using Bombas. Sometimes we get way too comfortable in our old habits. But if you're still wearing the same old uncomfortable socks you got years ago, hello, did I not just say that? Maybe it's time to upgrade to Bombas. Go ahead, Lorenzo. What did you want to say?
No, just that we decided that because, you know, we don't actually need anything this Christmas, this holiday. And then we said, all right, no gifts. Let's just buy one thing. And then we're like, all right, we need socks. Let's and just buy socks. So it was like Bombas. That's it.
Did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? Bombas socks were created to change that. For every pair you buy, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. Plus, Bombas socks are soft, like made with the softest cotton in the world. Soft. They're built with extra cushioning, so whether you're walking the dog, chilling at home, or saving the world, you'll be comfortable. Bombas socks provide support in places you didn't even know you needed it, like your arches. Each sock is built with a special arch support system that's not too tight. It's more like a nice hug for your foot. Oh. Yes. So, they even have a line of merino wool socks. They're like magic. Soft, warm, naturally moisture wicking, and never cheer up. I feel like I'm just reciting my Christmas wish list. You do a lot of different things. So Mama's made a lot of different socks. Dress socks for work, performance socks for working out, and limited edition holiday socks. Ooh. If you want to give someone a perfectly nice gift, give them a candle. If you want to be a holiday gifting ninja, give them Bombas.
True.
So go to bombas.com. That's bombas.com/TLO today. And get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/TLO for 20% off your first purchase. Thank you, Bombas. Okay. So our schedule for today, we're going to... Kittens, did you know there was a Project Runway season starting?
We're
going to push that back.
We're going
to
start with that.
No, I just said we're going to push that back.
Oh, okay.
Someone didn't listen during the pre-air meeting.
Ooh, I forgot. Okay, go ahead.
We're going to push that back, but we are going to talk about that because it'll probably take up the most of our time. In the meantime and in between time, I thought we would talk about a movie that we watched and a TV show that we're loving before Project Runway. The movie that we watched, Aeronauts, or The Aeronauts, starring Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones, which drops today in limited run, and then it switches over to Amazon Prime Video, so you'll be able to watch it on there, which is kind of why we thought, let's do a review, because it'll be in very wide
we're getting
streaming release.
Usual, we get a ton of screeners towards the end of the year, and there's a pile. I mean, we watched two or three, but there's a ton of them we need to watch.
I'm very happy with the ones that we're getting. Well, what evs?
No, the thing is that they're changing the whole screening system. They're sending links now, or you have to actually go to the movie theater. That's a new thing now. So usually we have to go to the movie theater for a special screening, or you get a link so you can watch it on a computer, which to me is not the same. I still like to see it on the TV. So we're not getting a lot of actual DVDs to watch them at home. Anyway.
Right. So anyway, we got The Aeronauts.
Right.
Which we watched last night. Which we just felt like doing it. We haven't done a movie review on the podcast in a while. This is not something we're going to review on the site. More than likely, we weren't going to do something like that. Starring Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne, who have already worked together in the Stephen Hawking movie. I can't remember what that one was called. But it got some buzz, and I thought, well, it looks interesting. Let's put it on. And
the reviews are mixed.
They are mixed.
I went, after we watched the movie, I checked some of the
my
reviews.
My review was mixed.
My review is mixed, too. Oh, well, first of all, you want to... Tell them what the movie's about.
The movie's about balloonists in the 19th century, circa 1860s or so, in England. One of which, Eddie Redmayne, is based on a real character, a real person, but Felicity Jones's character.
I was shocked to hear
that.
I was really disappointed.
She's an entirely made-up character, which is a shame because... I mean, whatever. It depends on how you want to approach this film. I guess I approached it thinking it was a more historically accurate film than it was. Her character has the more compelling backstory.
Right.
But turns out that story is completely made up. She's completely made up. But that doesn't make it a bad film. That's not even a mark against it. Because like I said, it depends on how you approach the film. I think I kind of mistakenly approached it like it was some sort of historical drama.
Right.
When really it was a bit more fanciful than that.
Well, the guy did went up in a balloon.
It was based on his flight and flights, several flights, and he had a male partner
who was written out. Right. They replaced it with a woman
with
and Felicity Jones.
With this fanciful female character, which, I mean, I don't know. And I just think you're opening yourself up to a lot of backlash for
something
like that.
Well, the thing
like
is that I
watched... Writing a man out of history to insert a woman in at a time when she... I mean, I was like, wow, what a bold creature doing this in 1860 as a woman. Well, she never existed.
Well, that's the thing. I watched the whole movie, and towards the end, not giving anything away, I choked up a little because I was like, this is so fantastic. A woman actually did this.
Yeah.
And then
there were women balloonists, et cetera, et cetera.
But I thought it was based on the true story.
Yeah, so that was a disappointment, but we probably shouldn't linger on that. We should... get to the actual film itself. But there are two reasons to watch it. And I would recommend it. I recommend this film. It's not an A film, but it's a B+ film.
Right.
In terms of entertainment value. Mm-hmm. First off, these two actors can act. And they have great chemistry with each other. And the entire movie rides on that fact because 80% of the movie is just the two of them in a basket under a balloon. In the sky. It's just the two of them.
It's a sky balloon and two actors the entire time.
There's flashbacks that show them on the ground and how they met and their backstories and all that stuff. But the bulk of the movie is just the two of them in a basket. So you better have chemistry. And they do. And they pull it off very well. The other thing to recommend it is the actual spectacle of balloon flight in the 1860s or whatever.
It's so well done.
Do I have the... dates right? It was like the 19th century, wasn't it?
You might want to Google it.
Might I? Anyway, the scenes of the balloon ride, like they really took their time to make it a viscerally exciting experience, and it is. Some of them are just. It's a full on action ride through. Oh boy, that sounds like a pull quote for a movie poster. It's a full on action ride. Tom and Lorenzo, Pop Style Opinion Fest. But no, there are scenes that are just full-on action scenes that your heart is in your throat.
The balloon is gorgeous. Visually, the movie is stunning.
Yeah. Very compelling stories for both characters, her more than him. So all of that's super great. The one of the things I found really interesting is that the opening scene is the actual balloon launch, and it's in like a fairground, and there's an audience, and there's, you know, all this stuff going on. And it was so beautifully shot.
Yes.
It was breathtaking. And one of the things that I noted about it, I kept saying over and over again, I was like, wow, look at the colors. Look at the colors. They really saturated a lot of these ground scenes, especially the early ones, with a ton of color. The costumes that a lot of, especially the women, were wearing were in these incredible, you're not used to seeing period films saturated with color like that. And I did for a couple of scenes, I was like, is this getting into fanciful? It's almost borderline Disney or like The Music Man, like a movie musical. It's just a little bit heightened. I can't necessarily speak to how historically accurate the colors were. I mean, there were some like neon gowns in this. But I understood why they did it, because the rest of the movie, they're up in the sky and it's literally just white and blue.
Right.
All you see is white and blue, pale white and pale blue.
And I think that was the purpose of all those colors.
To differentiate.
To show how busy the world is.
Right.
And how how busy we are and all these colors. And
how stark and spare it is to be up in the sky.
And you can tell, it's a beautiful movie. It could have been a short movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it could have. They pulled a story out of a balloon ride that was only a couple hours long,
I
think.
They could have just made a short movie. But... it's a beautiful movie. The costumes are gorgeous. I think they were designed by Alexander Biermann, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, the first costume that Felicity Jones wear is...
it's a stage costume. She's a performer.
It's
amazing.
Probably one of the most beautiful costumes I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It's absolutely breathtaking.
It looks like Gucci.
It's so beautiful. Stunning. It's like top five for me.
The funny thing is, it's supposed to be a garish looking.
Right.
It's like a stage costume.
It's
and she's all
beautiful.
Done up in stage makeup while wearing it. But it is.
Every element of it.
The color choices.
Everything.
And the way it was basically the skirt was dip dyed. And it was just.
It's gorgeous.
There was a lot of
gorgeous.
Technique in
it. I couldn't stop looking at it. And Felicity Jones, let me tell you, she's phenomenal. I really, really like her. She has so much light and sparkle.
As I said, she has a quality.
She does. She's such a great actress.
She's, I think part of her appeal, first off, she's intense and she's got a lot of charisma. And I think part of her appeal is she's got the looks of an ingenue. She's very pretty and young, and she could be just playing these romantic characters. But she's off. Her performances are always slightly off. Her persona is always slightly off. It's never quite what you think she's going to be. For an actress who is just conventionally pretty and young, who mm-hmm. can be too easily slotted into like shitty roles and shitty movies, she does interesting things. And I do appreciate, and this movie really brought that out because it really was her show. Eddie Redmayne's in it, of course, and he does his full Eddie. I mean, whatever. He's got a shtick and he leans on it a little too much, but he does it well.
Right.
But she, to me, was the real appeal in this movie. She gave a great performance. She gave an intense performance. And I loved that. I don't feel that the film approached it romantically. It's a man and a woman on an adventure. And they made it really clear that he was a scientist and she was, in her own way, also a scientist. That they were doing this for knowledge. They were doing this to get into record books. They had goals, and eyeing each other up was not part of the deal. Even when they go through these super intense life and death scenes, for which, you know, spoiler, they survive. Neither one of them die in this movie. Even then, they're having these hugely emotional reactions, happy to be alive and everything, hugging each other and everything. But I was like, I don't get the sense that they could kiss at any moment.
No, I was
very
happy.
Which I really appreciated.
I was very happy that they didn't go there, because then it would be cheesy.
Especially since she was fictional.
Because the whole story is about them doing this for the world. For science. So that's the beauty of it. And there's a line at some point, she says, you know, you can live in this world just looking at it, or you can do something about it.
Right.
And it's so true. I mean, that's pretty much the movie in a nutshell. They're doing this because it's to improve science.
His whole life's work, and this is apparently true, was he founded basically meteorology. He founded weather prediction. And that was why he wanted to go up. He wanted to look at weather patterns. He wanted to record them to see if they could be predicted. Which apparently he is the father of that.
Right. And the fascinating thing about this movie is that, and we talked about this, is how these people pretty much risked their lives. Literally.
How insane those adventures were. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be on a freaking balloon.
Reminded me a lot of those films that you see about the astronauts, the space program.
Right.
And the astronauts going into space and all the, like Apollo 13 and all the crazy things that go wrong and the danger.
But they did it anyway.
It's exactly that film with exactly that sensibility, except they're in a balloon. But it's no less dangerous. It's no less heart-stopping. The cinematography, like there are scenes where they are leaning out of this balloon, you know, over the English countryside, and your heart is in your throat.
Yeah, it's very tense.
Yeah.
Every now and then. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I can't look at this anymore.
Right.
But it's entertaining.
It's entertaining. It's 100 minutes. Actors. Fantastic cinematography and special effects. Compelling story. It's not perfect, and they took a lot of liberties that I was disappointed to hear about, but it's definitely worth your time.
It's visually stunning.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. So yeah, I recommend it.
You know what's
it.
Also beautiful?
Yes.
Our Away luggage.
Oh my God, yes. Gorgeous.
Away creates thoughtful products built for the way modern travelers see the world. They started with the perfect suitcase, and now they offer a range of essentials, all of which will make your travel more seamless. Whoever said it's all about the journey has never traveled during the holidays. It's the most stressful, craziest time to hit the road. But Away's products are designed to work and fit together, making travel smoother for the holidays and beyond. God knows, whenever we have been out traveling, our Away luggage has been a huge, huge help to us. It's one of those things where it's like, well, okay, now I don't have to worry about my luggage. I have to worry about a million other things when I'm traveling, but my luggage is secure. Yes. My luggage is lightweight. I can charge my devices on my luggage.
Yeah,
it's my best friend. So that's one of the great things is with a product like Away is because you're buying that sense of security. You're buying that sense of peace of mind because traveling is so stressful. All of Away's suitcases are thoughtfully designed to last a lifetime with durable exterior interiors that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. Every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more in, and a hidden and removable laundry bag that separates your dirty clothes. Away's newest line of suitcases are made from a durable, water-resistant nylon exterior that's made to last a lifetime. An easy-access front pocket fits the essentials you need on hand, like your laptop, passport, tickets, books, cords, and more. If any part of your suitcase breaks, Away's standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced. There's a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. Take the product out on the road and live with it, travel with it, get lost with it for 100 days. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. And Away offers free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous U.S., Europe, Canada, and Australia. So, for $20 off any suitcase or bag, visit awaytravel.com/TLO20. That's awaytravel.com/TLO20. And use promo code TLO20 for $20 off any suitcase or bag. Thank you, Away. All right. The Mandalorian. Lorenzo is really loving this show, and he doesn't know anything about it or the Star Wars universe.
I was never interested in Star Wars or Star Trek, anything.
Mm-hmm. Don't say them in the same sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Star I'm just Wars, joking. I'm okay, just joking.
Pause. Star Trek.
exactly.
Anyway, I was just not a fan of these things. But I am loving the show.
I know we talked about it before on the podcast, and we're just revisiting again to say, you know what, it just keeps getting better and better.
You weren't so sure when we watched the first episode.
But you usually like that.
You're a little harsher than I am when watching things, and then you love it, and then yeah.
Is that how that works? Mm-hmm. Is that really how that works? Okay, you really got me figured out. Anyway, it's a show that really builds on itself episode by episode. Each episode is like a brick. And they're building something with it. And that structure is not as common in television as it once was, where you're, especially with streaming shows, which are supposed to be bingeable, which means it's all one long story told out right over 10 hours or whatever. The Mandalorian, first off, is streaming, but it's being released weekly. You have to wait a week between episodes. Second, the episode, not one of the episodes is an hour long. And some of them are under 40 minutes. Hmm. And there has been some complaining from the online fan community, because the worst people to talk to, if you have a nerd obsession like Star Wars or Star Trek or comic books, the worst thing to do is to get online and talk to other people who have that obsession, because they'll make you hate it. I learned this the hard way with comic books. But I was reading the complaints about the show, and people were like, it's like a video game, because like, each episode is he fights a boss in each episode and then moves on. And then there's little bits of story information that are getting added to build a larger story, to build the world around him. But each episode is discrete unto itself in many ways, has like a guest star setup where each episode he meets someone. And in many cases, it's a notable actor. This week's episode, it was Amy Sedaris. Nick Nolte was in two episodes. Ming-Na Wen is in this episode, which I had to go look her up because I don't know if they, I mean, I don't know, maybe they digitally did something to her, but my God, she looks like she's 30 years old, and she's 56.
Right.
She looks amazing in this. Amy Sedaris was amazing in the latest episode. And of course, the big news out of The Mandalorian is Baby Yoda, which has just exploded as this meme and this sort of cultural figure, and only seems to get more and more popular with each week. But the show itself is really well structured, really well developed, really well directed, and every single episode is just this satisfying 40 minutes or so of narrative, mm-hmm, with some great action scenes thrown in. And if you're a Star Wars fan, winks and nods to the larger picture without getting too caught up in it. I was talking to my brother over the holiday, who is a big Star Wars fan but doesn't have Disney Plus, and he's like, yeah, I've heard a lot about this. And I said, one of the things I really love about it is that it feels very much in that world that George Lucas created. But it doesn't feel like it's spending a lot of time nodding or winking to anything. It's just a world that exists in the background. The aesthetic is the same. Every once in a while, you'll see someone wander in, like a stormtrooper or somebody like that, to remind you that this is that universe. But it doesn't feel like, say, the Phantom Menace, or not the Phantom Menace, The Force Awakens and the latest trilogy, which a lot of times feels like it's just replaying old Star Wars bits. This is telling a different story in that universe, and it's not relying on the Skywalkers or the Jedis or much of the old, you know, detritus of the other trilogies. That I love. But it's still, it feels like Star Wars, but it feels like something new. Not even like they did that Rogue One movie and they did that Solo movie, which was not very good at all. And it was the same thing where they were playing in that universe, but it just, either they, it didn't feel like they got it quite right. Like Solo, I don't think they got that universe right at all. And Rogue One sometimes was nodding too much. Like the whole movie was to explain why there was a hole in the Death Star that you could blow it up in the first movie. Like that was the whole point to the movie. So it was still too beholden to the trilogies. This does not feel like it at all. And in this latest episode with Amy Sedaris, they really dive into a part of the original film, A New Hope. I'm not going to get into it if you haven't seen it, but it's the deepest dive yet into the actual worlds and places.
Interesting.
Yes, and there's a big cliffhanger at the end as to who this final person is that's coming in. And there's a lot of discussion that he is a major figure from the films that would sort of relate to this world, but I'm not going to give anything away.
It's visually gorgeous.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
It feels like a mini movie. Like
it does.
Every episode is like a movie. And it's beautiful. The colors are beautiful. The costumes are great. And he is great. What's his name again?
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, he's really good.
Never takes the mask off.
It's funny because you never see his face, but there's so much personality coming through, you know.
It's all body language and voice.
Yes, yes. But it full of personality. Just great, great, yeah. great. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by his character. And Baby Yoda, my God.
Baby Yoda.
Oh, my God.
I've also loved all the guest stars.
Every single
Amy Sedaris, Gina Carano was in last week's episode, and she was actually really great. And that's the interesting thing is that he's basically hopping from world to world right now. He's on the run. There's an overarching story. But like I said, each week he just stops. It's very much like a Western. Stops in a town somewhere, although it's a planet, not a town. Runs into some local trouble, has a little adventure, and then leaves. Basically, every episode is like that. Oh, and going back to like the nerd complaint, this is like a video game. Blah, blah, blah. No, actually, it's like a classic TV Western. It's like freaking Bonanza or something like that. It's just that structure is not familiar to modern audiences. This whole, the hero goes from place to place each week, has an adventure, and leaves and goes on and has a different adventure the next week.
It's like Lost in Space type of thing.
There were a million shows like that. Like The Incredible Hulk, you know? All those shows were like that. And then there were a million Westerns that were like that. Gunsmoke and all that sort of thing. And it's very much in that vein. So there is a little bit of a video game quality to it, but it's really hearkening back to television adventure shows and serialized adventures in the movie, like the short reels that they would show before the main film, where it was like these serialized Captain Tomorrow style adventures. That's what it's pulling from, and that's what's so enjoyable about it, because Lucas loved that. I mean, Lucas co-created Indiana Jones, so he loved all that old school adventure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this show is really one of the best homages to Lucas's original idea of that universe and original aesthetic for that universe.
Wow, that's high praise.
I know. It's a lot of fun. It really took me by surprise, but at the end of 2019, I'm like, you know what? This might be one of my favorite TV shows of the year. It's the only show right now where I'm like, I can't wait for the next episode.
I can't wait
for the next episode. Although, true. No, actually, not so true. Watchmen.
Oh, Watchmen.
Watchmen.
My God.
We're not getting off on that. We've already done Watchmen.
Oh my God, Watchmen is so good.
It is so good. And it's getting crazier by the week. And I can't tell you what's happening coming up this week, but it's going to outdo last week's. Anyway, all right. And you love Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda's
and
fantastic.
And you think the Mandalorian armor is kind of fantastic. That costume's amazing.
The costumes are great. I just love the whole thing about it. And it's great because I do like to watch things that that I don't know much about.
Right.
Because, you know, you were telling me all the, you know, all the things showing up on screen, you know, all the points of
reference. You don't have to know that
but
stuff.
But I don't have to know any of that. I just enjoy the movie, the show very, very much. Anyway, yes, I'm
highly
all...
Highly Tilo recommended.
Yes,
yeah.
It is Tilo recommended.
I'm not trying to talk anyone into signing up for Disney+. I realize that the streaming wars are exhausting everyone.
Well, the thing is that it's getting to a point that, I mean, you spend like $100 a month, you know, if you add up all of them, it's just too much money.
Right now, Disney+ for me is all The Mandalorian.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm keeping it. And I say that the only reason, if I didn't already own a digital library of most of the Marvel films, I would probably love Disney Plus because it has most of the Marvel films on it. But I already own so many of them.
Right.
And as far as classic Disney, like Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, all that stuff, it's not my bag. We didn't raise kids, so it's not really part of us. We're not Disney queens.
But if you have
kids,
right. But if you have kids, I mean, it's a great.
It is. It's a great resource
a great
for
thing,
kids
yes.
programming and stuff like that. But for us, for our specific needs as a streaming platform, the only thing it's got going for us right now is The Mandalorian. It's sort of like CBS All Access. The only reason I am signed up to that is for Star Trek Discovery and the upcoming Picard, but I don't watch anything else on there.
Right.
It gets hard to justify these things. Anyway, why don't we take a short break?
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we will Project Runway it the hell up in this John. Okay?
All right.
We'll be right back.
Talking celebrities, pop culture, TV, and fashion. This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We are back on the Opinion Fest, and now we're going to talk about the sneaky surprise season of Project Runway, which exploded in our laps this week. I actually went to Lorenzo like 2 or 3 days ago, and I was like, did you know that there's a new season of Project Runway started? And you were like, when? And I was like, Thursday.
And you're like, what?
And then I was like, and then she was like, and then we were all like,
and
listen
they
to
were
us.
Like, anyway.
I was all, and then he was all. My point being that for 13 years, every time there was a season of Project Runway, we knew about it well beforehand.
Yeah, press stuff, emails, and everything.
If not because of marketing, like the PR people reaching out to us, simply you just hear about it. Like, it's just weird. I don't want to make predictions or start rumors or everything, but the two of us. All day, all morning, and last night, we were saying it's just weird the way they just dropped
this last
with
season?
So little promotion, and it feels almost like they're burning the show off. I don't know. I hope that's not true. I love PR. I still love PR. And I should mention, I know last season we did old school recaps, and it was fun to return to that, but we really couldn't do it for this. First off, it snuck up on us. It's happening right through the holidays. It would be hard to do a recapping schedule through the holidays. And starting in the new year, when the show will still be airing, we'll be caught up in book promotional stuff. We're going to be so caught up in that stuff that doing a weekly recap wasn't a good idea. So we are back to doing podcast recaps. Sorry, PR kittens, but that's the way it's got to be for this season, which I hope is not the last season.
It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. And it was actually a great episode, I thought. You know, not much better, but the usual great episode. And I can't imagine, I don't know. I mean, at some point it's going to end. It has to end. Everything ends. But I just don't see it doing it now. You know,
there's
Bravo
no
doing it now.
Buzz anymore.
Right. But the thing is that Karlie Kloss was out. And I guess, you know, I'm always looking for stuff for our site. And so I check every site, every PR site. And I actually saw her doing a couple of talk shows.
Right.
But I didn't even make the connection. I was like, why is she out doing something? Because, you know, there's always a reason why they're out being photographed. Didn't make the connection until you told me. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's why Karlie Kloss is out.
It's just a very understated sort of way of promoting the show. And I know it wasn't nominated for any Emmys last year, and that was, I think, the first time in a long time the show wasn't nominated for any.
Right.
I don't know how it's doing in terms of the ratings for Bravo, so I'm a little worried. I maybe we're reading too much into it. And if anyone from Bravo was listening and would like to disabuse us of this notion, please contact us and let us know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
It just doesn't seem like it wasn't even trending last night.
I swear that's the first time.
Right.
Every time Project Runway's on the air, it trends on social. It trends on Twitter and stuff like that.
I just don't understand what's going on. Maybe we're wrong. Hopefully we're wrong. But because, yeah, I liked last season. I mean, it wasn't much better than you know, the usual Project Runway. But it was good.
Yeah, last season and last night's episode, same thing. I was like, what I love about the show now that is back on Bravo is it looks like they put time and money into it.
Right.
It looks good. The sets look good. The locations look good. It also seems pretty clear to me when the Magical Elves took back control over the show again, they really downplayed the idea of casting people for their personalities, because both last season's lineup and this one, it just feels like they were cast. It's just a bunch of committed artisans and designers who have interesting backstories and make for good television, but none of them have extreme personalities. Not one of them.
Right.
And there's no extreme drama, which may be to the show's detriment, because, you know, reality television thrives on, you know, created packaged drama. And much as we all want a Project Runway where everyone quietly sews for an hour and a half and then produces stunning work, that's kind of what we have right now. And I'm worried that the show's not doing well. Anyway, go ahead.
The show looks great. The workroom is beautiful, and it faced the bridge.
Right. It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous in New York. The first challenge was nice. They went to the TWA terminal, the old terminal from 1960s, which now is a hotel. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, we actually feature the TWA hotel, terminal/hotel, when we show the Louis Vuitton collection. So if you do a search on our site, you see pictures of it. Anyway, and it was an interesting challenge with space tourism. Anyway, they had to design a jumpsuit and a cocktail dress.
Right.
And it was interesting because, you know, they usually show them coming and arriving and they introduce themselves. This time they didn't do that. They just threw them all together.
Well, I think they did the same thing last season where they're slowly letting...
Letting
them... It's a little more organic, like letting the personalities come out through the interactions rather than, you know, someone facing the camera and saying, I'm this and I'm from here and this is what I'm all about. It's a little more, I actually like that.
No, I do like it because you have time to digest every single one of them. They're not,
but
you
I don't know any of their
introducing,
names yet. Not yet.
I know some of them, but some, and there were, like you said, it's an interesting group and it has been since last season. You can tell that they do like fashion, they do like to design.
They're real designers. They're not just reality show personalities.
Well, some of them have designed stuff for, you know, there's Sergio. He designed for that Billy Porter. One of his major looks was designed by him.
I thought was hideous, but whatever.
He designs a lot of stuff for drag queens. And
Seeing a lot more of that in the later season of the show. These drag queen designers are really stepping forward. Right. They're
drag
getting bigger and bigger.
Everything is out there. I'm just waiting for my drag queen mug and my drag queen coffee.
Yeah.
There's everything.
But before we get further into Project Runway, we should talk a minute about Joybird Furniture.
Yes.
Create furniture that matches your own fearless style with Joybird's endless options to customize. The days of settling for something that isn't quite you are over. Fall is the season of all things cozy, and there's no place better to snuggle up with a good book, like our book, than your very own home. Your furniture should suit your needs while also feeling uniquely you. So whether you're hosting Friendsgiving or just want to spend a night in, with Joybird, you'll be doing it your way. With over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, and over 250 unique silhouettes, do the math. Joybird's got a lot to choose from. Whether your style is more mid-century, modern, boho, or you're not sure, Joybird's Instagram gives you a daily dose of what's trending in the homes of their customers. Check out Joybird's new Autumn Daydream Lookbook, their most adventurous one yet. It's got some of the most unique room designs with bold colors and velvets you can practically feel through the screen. With Joybird, your personal one-of-a-kind style should match your furniture. Bring your mood boards to life with hundreds of customizable pieces and over 50 fabric options. We've done this ourselves. We cannot recommend enough getting your own customized furniture.
It makes a huge difference.
From a quality furniture place like Joybird. You're picking the finishes, you're picking the colors, you're picking
the legs, everything.
Everything, yeah, the legs. Like, you're not settling for anything. You're not like, oh, I like that calves, but I don't like the arms, but okay, we'll get it. No, everything you pick, you get. It's your style.
And it's worth the money. That's the point here. Yeah.
What's that?
Worth the money.
It's totally worth the money. From rich buttery leathers to the softest velvets you've ever felt, you're sure to find the fabric and texture that's right for you. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options so that your creations can stand the test of time and the wrath of your furry friends and toddlers. Each Joybird produced piece is made with the ultimate care and precision, using real wood without all of those harmful chemicals and responsibly sourced materials. All Joybird handcrafted pieces come with a lifetime limited warranty. There's a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. So, create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/Lorenzo.
Yes, always Lorenzo.
That's joybird.com/Lorenzo. joybird.com/Lorenzo for 25% off your first order using the code Lorenzo, because Lorenzo is my joy bird.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was back to Project Runway. It was an interesting way to pair them up because they
you know, it's
it's one thing when you're like mid-season and they do teams and you kind of know everybody's work, you know who they are. This time they didn't know anything about them and they had to like sort of like introduce themselves and find out something about the other one so they could pick someone to work with. So that was a little different. So I don't like teams,
but look
team
at how low drama it
was.
Like,
but
that,
it was,
they
yes.
do not cast these high drama queens anymore. They threw them into a team challenge on the first try where they had to pick their own teams, mm-hmm. and there was still no drama.
So 16 designers,
lots of looks,
lots of them. And they brought back the flash sale kind of thing that they sell the look online
on
bravo.com. So that was interesting. And now they have the Christian
Siriano save.
Yeah.
Which, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, it wasn't bad. I thought it was great.
We got a lot of looks to get through. So
there's
a
ton of looks. Yes. So let's go.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to queue up. No, you can keep talking because now I'm queuing up video.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, the thing is that because it wasn't promoted so much, I couldn't. I mean, I watched the whole episode thinking, I mean, this is it. Is this it? You know, is this the last season? I couldn't let that go. But anyway, I hope it's not the case.
Yeah, we should. I don't want to be like Chicken Little.
Right. But anyway, it was a good episode. I thought it was a good episode to start the season.
I do. I like the designers. And like I said, these are designers. They can sew. Yeah. They were given 2 days and $400, so the looks are good.
And bringing back Brandon Maxwell. And, you know, of course, Nina Garcia, fabulous Nina Garcia, and Chris Siriano, and the other one I don't like.
He doesn't like Elaine Welter.
But anyway, she's just, yeah.
She is who she is.
She's all like right. an Instagram judge.
First up.
Yes, so the first one was Brittany and Sergio.
Sergio, yes. My video's all
is that Sergio, Sergio, however he pronounces it.
They were actually the winning team, which surprised me a little bit.
Are we going to talk about it? Brittany's jumpsuit was absolutely my favorite.
I have to admit, it took me a minute, and the judges really sold it on
right.
me. But when they first gushed, I was like, really over that? It is exquisite. It's impeccable.
It was absolutely my favorite. It's very editorial, which Nina Garcia, you know, is all over it.
That, the fit is spectacular.
I was surprised. And the way I feel about this in general is, I guess I'll talk about that later, but Sergio's look was hideous.
Oh, well, he's the one that, like, oh, Christian Siriano doesn't know how advanced my skills are, and blah, blah, blah. And you put down a strapless cocktail dress that I've seen a million times. Like, whatever.
His look was so boring and not flattering at all.
No.
And these hideous sleeves added to it. It was a big
mess.
But
if it didn't have those sleeves, there'd be nothing to it.
Right. So I was not surprised that he sent some shit down the runway, because that's, you know, when you talk the talk and you don't usually walk the walk. Anyway.
Okay, so this is Chelsea, who I don't remember at all.
Chelsea and Shavi. Yes. So
it's like a white. It's gorgeous. Oh, in each team, one of them had to make a jumpsuit, right. And it was all futuristic. So her jumpsuit is stunning. Actually,
Chelsea did the jumpsuit, which is my second favorite.
It's gorgeous.
That was really, really elegant.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. I thought she did a great job. The back is beautiful. It has some lace up. I
don't remember her at all. It's so funny. I don't remember Shavi either.
And it was usually, I have to say, in general, I'll talk about that later. But Shavi's cocktail dress was also a big nothing.
Big nothing.
It's like they put all the work on the jumpsuits, but the cocktail dresses, they're all basic. You know, they're just very basic. There's not much there. And then Jeffrey and Melanie, I guess. Milani, I believe.
Do you have them in? You already know them? Oh,
yes,
look at you.
I wrote it down.
Jeffrey.
I think it's Milani.
Is a little high strung.
Jeffrey, yeah. But he's interesting. He has an interesting look. I like his look.
I did like his jumpsuit. I thought it was a strange choice of fabric. It's not a very pretty fabric, and it's very heavy. But he did amazing things with it.
It is beautiful. It's not the kind of fabric I'd pick because it's a hard fabric to work with. But it looks good.
Yeah.
The jumpsuit looks good. Again, the cocktail dress designed by Milani, I believe.
Melanie.
Melanie or Milani. I can't remember. I think it's Milani. Anyway. Melanie. Well, it's a big nothing. It's just a very basic dress. All the cocktail dresses disappoint
me.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's nothing to it. There's nothing at all to it.
Yeah. Not in love. Then Victoria and Veronica.
No.
Oh,
Jen,
I'm sorry.
And
Jen
Ozma.
And Ozma. Sorry. Ooh.
Actually wound up going home for this.
Yeah.
Both of them.
They didn't work well together. They have very different styles, I think, and it just didn't work well together.
Well, Jen put out the most uninteresting jumpsuit you could put out, and everyone else's jumpsuits were drop dead gorgeous.
And she realized that. She said, you know, mine
looks
like nothing.
Ozma went a little crazy. I certainly don't mind the modesty aspects of her outfit, but
it's like
the fabrics
everything.
Are ugly. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bunch of random ideas thrown at her.
It was like everything but the kitchen thing. I mean, she had all these ideas, as Nina Garcia said, and then she just, you know,
she didn't edit
them all
any
together.
Of them.
Yeah.
And she picked the, I mean, those fabrics are, it's a peach and a hot pink. It's just a hideous.
They didn't work well together.
Color combination.
Now, Victoria and Veronica, Vivi, Victoria's,
cocktail dress, big nothing.
Big nothing.
Half silver.
Again, the cocktail dresses. What's wrong with you people? They were all ugly. Yeah. Ugly, ugly, ugly. And then the Veronica's jumpsuit.
Which I don't even remember.
It was okay. I didn't think it was too bad, but the judges didn't like it at all.
They waved it through, didn't they? They said she was safe.
Oh, okay. But they didn't. They weren't crazy about it. I thought it was okay.
It's okay. I don't really like the silhouette with the puffy sleeves. I just don't think it works. It looks too much like a flight suit.
Right. I think the sleeves are a little too much, but she said she loves sleeves, so of course she had to add them to the look.
Marquise and Nancy.
Marquise and Nancy.
Marquise's jumpsuit is pretty sharp. I think almost all of them except for the losing one.
It's well made, but there's nothing new about
There's nothing futuristic. Just putting some silver boots on a model doesn't make it
right.
a space suit.
It's a strapless jumpsuit off the show, that type of thing. It was just kind of basic. And then you put a belt on it. Every time you put a belt on it, then
Nancy
you know.
Is the 64-year-old designer and
from Philadelphia. What is
poor
what is,
thing is probably going to wind up being quoted as the I'm the oldest a million times this season. Her work is very good though.
And they're all from Philadelphia. Have you noticed?
I like her style. I thought this was interesting. It was one of the more interesting cocktail dresses.
True. But it's something you'd see at any store, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Alan and Dae-young,
yes.
I believe.
They were very cute, but kind of annoying together.
Alan, it was very annoying. Anyway, very excited to be there, Alan.
Yes. Well, there's always one queen.
Dae-young, she designed the jumpsuit. They were a little harsh.
I thought so, too.
They were a little harsh. I didn't
even,
think this was
even
too bad.
Nina did say, she's like, I see a little Virgil Abloh in this. Like, she was trying to point out that they weren't that far off.
I didn't think it was that horrible, to be honest. The dress... Ellen design is hideous. Hideous. The skirt, I don't understand.
I don't get
the skirt.
But the her jumpsuit was actually kind of interesting.
But I don't understand. He tried to mimic the top of his dress, you know, to look more or less like the jumpsuit to make it cohesive. But the skirt, I don't understand the skirt. Anyway. And then Delvin and Tyler,
I don't remember these at all.
I
That's right. They were inspired by TWA. I really liked these.
I did like his jumpsuit very much.
I like the dress more, which is coming out next. Yeah, you have to really keep, did look like the TWA
right,
terminal.
Right. Well, you have to keep in mind that they were going to produce this. So the more complicated you make
true,
it.
True. But look at that. That's
it's
stunning.
Not going to get picked.
That dress is gorgeous.
The dress is gorgeous and the jumpsuit was nice. But again, if it's going to be produced, they're looking for a very simple pattern. They're not going to pick something that is too complicated.
Right.
And you should keep that in mind when you design something if you want to be the winner. So top was
there's only top two teams and bottom
two
teams.
So Jeffrey and Melanie, I guess, and Brittany and Sergio, they were top. And of course I knew it. The minute I saw that Brittany's jumpsuit, the first one, actually, I knew it was going to be the one. I knew
it's exactly what Nina likes.
And of course, to pick that, they would have to go with Sergio's hideous dress, because your work as a team. So they had to find something interesting to talk about it to justify them winning, as usual.
As per usual.
But Brittany did a good job. And then bottom was Jen, Ozma, and Alan and Dayoung. And then I was shocked they sent both home.
The double elimination.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
I can't say I disagreed with it. Both of those looks were bad. If you picking just one would not have been fair. They were both equally bad.
I thought they were just going to send Jen the jumpsuit.
So did I.
One. But they sent both home, and I was like, wow, that's quite shocking.
They're not
fooling
around.
Yeah. Well, 16 designers, you know, they can send two home.
Not only that, but they have a Siriano save, so they can send two home, right?
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, overall, I thought it was a good episode.
But you've really got to be a hardcore Project Runway fan to love the show now,
right?
Because it's not going to give you those big reality TV show moments that sort of characterize the Lifetime years. And to be fair, characterized the early Bravo.
Yeah.
I mean, Santino,
a lot of drama. Oh my
Jeffrey,
God.
Laura. There were some extreme personalities in those early seasons.
Christian. And drama.
But I don't think that's what this version of the show is anymore. It's really about the design and the artistry and the skill and showing you, you know, gorgeous workspaces and vistas of the New York skyline. I love it. I don't know. I feel like maybe some of the energy might be out of the show.
Yeah, which is a shame because I'd never watch Bravo because, you know, Bravo is pretty much the Real Housewife channel. I never watch Bravo. And the only reason why I watch Bravo is because of Project Runway. So I hope they had more stuff like Project Runway and they would hold on a little longer. But like I said, every show has to end at some point. And you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So, but anyway, it was a fun episode. I enjoyed it, and I will keep watching.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then.
We will keep talking about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, kittens, thank you again for listening into our cartoon voices, and we missed you in our time away.
I know.
And we'll be back next week with more opinions on whatever passes in front of our eyes. Until then, have a great week. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.